Genesis chapter 28, we'll be looking at verses 10 down through verse 22. Then these verses, we have probably a familiar story to most people. The title of the lesson or the message is Jacob's Ladder. I've been trying to look in the book of Genesis on the messages on the radio, and as I was reading, I thought, it's one of those things you think about, you just never take time to read it or to study it. And, you know, all these things are pictures and types of the Lord Jesus Christ as he reveals himself to chosen sinners. And Jacob, we know, was the one that God chose. God told Rebekah in Romans chapter 9, before those boys had done any good or evil, Jacob and Esau, before either one had done any good or evil, either one of them, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And that's what it says, and that's what he meant. And he set his love on Jacob. And all that God set his love on before the world was made in time, he's going to cross their path in his time. You say, preacher, when is a person saved? I can tell you exactly when. When it pleases God. When it pleases God to cross your path. It's just like we're talking about Simeon. They brought the Lord Jesus Christ, and they laid him in his arms, and he says, I can die now. This is the consolation of Israel. God's salvation. So this is what we see here. God coming to one of his elect, Jacob, in mercy and grace, and revealing himself to them. It said, and Jacob went from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Beersheba, I mentioned last week, is the well of the oath. Or if we could talk, we could even say it's the place of blessing. To Haran, the place of the curse, the place of death. So this is where Jacob's coming from. You remember how that the reason Jacob is even here is because his very name means surplanter. Because when Esau was born, Jacob reached out and grabbed hold of his brother's heel. Esau was the firstborn. Esau had the right of the birthright. And Jacob is reaching out trying to get that which didn't belong to him. And he surplanted and he tricked his daddy into getting the blessing. That's what he did. He tricked him. He deceived him. God would in time have given it to him because it was his by promise. But he still deceived his daddy. But let me tell you this. God is not bound by anything. He's not bound or hindered by anything. God determined for this boy to have the blessing, and he's blessed. And you know what God did to Esau? God left him alone. He left Esau to his own way. Esau chose to do exactly what he wanted to do. When he saw Isaac sent Jacob to Haran, to Laban's house, to get him a bride. And you know what Esau did? He went and married him a Canaanite woman on purpose. That's his second wife. Because he saw it displeased his daddy. He's a rebel. And all God has to do to send a person to hell is just leave them alone. But I'm glad God is determined to save a people. And in God's own time, he will cross their path. And he will reveal unto that sinner. He's going to first reveal to you who you are. When the Spirit of God has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He's got to convince you what sin is. Sin. Sin is not an action. Sin is who you are. Then he's got to convince you that he's righteous and that you have no righteousness. The only righteousness you can have is the one that he gives you. Then of judgment. That judgment is satisfied. Only God can convince you of that. I can or nobody else can. But God does through the preaching of his gospel. So this is where Jacob is at. Here we see Jacob in his lost condition. God never saves a man till he brings him to recognize his lost condition. All through the scripture it says God kills and God makes alive. That's how God always works. He strips and then he closes. Here we have a revelation of God. Jacob is lost. He's left his home and he's left his parents. You know, I don't understand all this. I know there's a whole lot more here than any of us will ever see. But you know, Isaac lived 40-some years after this. The reason Isaac called him in and blessed him, he thinks he's going to die. But he lived another 40-some years. And very little is ever said about him after this. Very little. Why? I don't know. I just think that's strange, don't you? But do you know that Jacob's mama helped him deceive his daddy to get the blessing? And do you know when he left home, that was the last time he saw his mama alive? The last time. When she sent him away. And he had to leave. You know why? Because when he got the birthright, when he got the blessing, Esau said, as soon as my daddy's dead, I'm going to kill you. And he meant it. That could have been one reason God let him live another 40 years. To spare Jacob. That's how God always does everything to spare his people. That's why. But this is the situation. He's left home. He's left his father. He's left his comfort. And he's going across this desert. You know, it's 400 and some miles from Beersheba to Haran. 400 and some miles. And if you'll go back and read in chapter 24, this is the same distance when Abraham sent a servant to go get Rebekah and bring her from Laban's house or her father's house, bring him all the way back. But he's riding in a camel train. Jacob's not. He's probably alone. Can you imagine how he feels? He's left his father. He's left his mother. He's alone and he's out here by himself. In verse 11, he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillar and lay down in that place to sleep. Nothing can ever hinder God in his purpose. Everything Jacob experienced that night, this night here in the desert, between Beersheba and Haran, portrayed the work of God's sovereign grace in the heart of a chosen sinner. You notice there it said, and he lighted upon a certain place. A certain place. He just thinks he's just out walking in the wilderness. But he comes to a certain place. God determines the place and the time. And you notice it said it was night. When God comes to you in grace, it's darkness in your soul. It talks about a lot of things happening in scriptures at midnight. Darkness, deadness. This is Jacob. God has never personally, up to this time, ever spoke to Jacob. Now, he spoke to Abraham and pronounced a blessing on Abraham. He spoke to Isaac and revealed himself to Isaac, but he's not yet revealed himself unto Jacob up to this point. He tarried here all night. The burden that he was carrying was this heavy heart. What am I doing? What did I do? It sure didn't work out like I thought it would. I thought, man, I'll get the blessing and everything will be fine and Esau will bow down to me. No, it didn't work out that way. He's having to leave. No light to walk in, dark, alone, confused, and in despair. Does this sound familiar? Would he ever see his loving mother again? Would he ever see his home? Will he ever be able to go back home? Here Jacob lay defenseless, helpless, cold, and alone, a fugitive running from his brother. You remember later on in the book of Genesis when he has to go back, you remember how afraid he was to face Esau? And that's when he wrestled with God. But Esau meant it. He is now able to see what his efforts to get the blessings had cost him. But I want you to see God is leading his elect child to this very place. Old writers, old Puritan writers used to use this statement, prevenient grace, which means grace before grace. Before God comes to you in saving grace, his grace keeps you. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Every step you made, every step was ordered of God Almighty. Every step Jacob took was ordered. You said, explain how he deceived his daddy, how that can be ordained. I can't. There's no way to explain the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. But it's grace before grace. This was God's time to visit his child. When he is out here all alone, destitute of any comforter or anything to bring him comfort. It says he lays his head down on a stone. The way of the transgressor is hard, especially a transgressor who belongs to the Lord. Jacob is cut off from all ties. And that's what God does. When he intends to save someone, you know what he does? He's going to get them alone. It's just between you and him alone. God is bringing Jacob down. He is humbling him. Hosea 2:14, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and will speak comfortably unto her. This is what God is doing to Jacob. He is stripping Jacob. Who's he going to depend on? Nobody. Who's there to help him? Nobody. Let's see him manipulate himself out of this mess. He's been able all of his life to get himself out of a jam and to manipulate and get what he wants. He can't do anything here. Even when we see when he gets to Laban's house, he's always trying to out-trick Laban. And Laban was just a little smarter than he was. And God's putting him in a place. Listen, it's not my manipulation that you get God's blessings. It's by grace. Man thinks that he can manipulate God. He can supplant God. No, it don't work that way. God's not like you are. He is stripping him of all of his scheming, his manipulating. God kills and God makes alive. When God intends to reveal himself to a chosen sinner, he always gets that sinner alone. Who's still back at home? Esau is. Esau had everything he could ever want. You remember when Jacob finally has to go back and face Esau, and Jacob brings all these presents? You remember what Esau said? He said, I have enough. I don't need anything. I have enough. Look in verse 12. We have the revelation. So see where God's brought him. He tarries here all night. He lays down. He pulls a stone up and lays his head down on a stone for a pillar. And as he lays in that place, he lays down to sleep. He's just wore out. And he lays down to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder was set up upon the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. And the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. God came to Jacob in a dream. You need to understand this, that in Jacob's time, they didn't have a Bible like you do. They didn't have a complete revelation of God. We don't know how much they had. And God in times past revealed himself to people through dreams. He don't reveal himself to people through dreams now. Why? We have the Word of God. We don't need dreams and all these things. But in this time, he did. And God revealed himself through a dream to Jacob, and portrayed himself as a ladder. reaching from heaven to earth. Everybody's familiar with the ladder. You want something that is up high, you need a ladder to take you to that place. You go from a low place to a high place. And this ladder is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how God revealed himself to Jacob, in a ladder. This is what God did. He said, Jacob's dreaming. And he dreams and he sees a ladder. Some said this is more like a staircase. And it's set up upon the earth and reaches all the way to heaven. And at the top of this staircase, he sees the Lord standing at the top of this staircase. You said, now what can this mean? There is only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. How are we going to get from here to there? How can that be? How can that be? God reveals to his child that the distance between God and the sinner can only be bridged by this ladder. Something about this ladder, what did he say? He said it's set up upon the earth. Right where Jacob was at, the Son of God took upon himself human flesh. When the fullness of time was come, God set forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, set up as a man upon this earth. You said, why is it important that he took upon himself a human nature? He's God. Now, he never ceased to be God, but he was born in a virgin's womb as a man, and he was set up upon this earth. But the top of it reached into heaven. The foot of the ladder on earth represents his humiliation. The top reaching to heaven shows his exaltation. The only way anyone can have access to God is by Christ, our mediator. Our Lord said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And when man misses it, he thinks himself to be his own mediator. He says, I don't need God. I don't need Christ. Oh, yes, you do. And this is how God revealed himself to Jacob in this ladder. How do you know this is a picture? Here's what our Lord said. John chapter 1, verse 51. He said unto him, Nathanael, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of God. He's making reference to this right here. He says, Nathanael, he says, because I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? He said, you're going to see greater things than this. Greater things than this. Don't you see this? So it was set up on the earth. It reached all the way to heaven. And the angels of God are descending and ascending upon this earth. Now, what does upon this ladder? Now, what can this represent? I think these angels can represent three things. I think, first of all, it refers to Christ, who is the angel of the covenant. Have you ever noticed how many times that God revealed himself to people in the Old Testament in the form of an angel? How did he come to Abraham? In an angel. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly right. He didn't just begin when he was born in the mother's womb. He's always God, and this is how he manifested himself. Secondly, it can have reference to the angelic beings. What are these angelic beings? What is their purpose? They are ministers, sent forth to minister unto them who are the heirs of salvation. Did you hear that? They are sent forth to minister unto them who are the heirs of salvation. What do? They watch over the elect of God. They protect them. They're ministering spirits. That's their purpose. He said the angels of God ascending and descending. They do whatever he commands them. But I think this also can have reference to gospel preachers who were sent as ministers of Christ who bring the things of God down to men. Here's what Paul said. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. If you're ever to learn anything about God, God will have to send you a preacher. That's right. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch. He came to Jerusalem. He came to worship God. And he had a copy of Isaiah in his possession. And he's riding in a chariot, and he came to Jerusalem looking for something, and he didn't find it. And he's reading Isaiah, and he cannot understand it. He's reading Isaiah 53. He said, is this talking about the prophet, or is this talking about somebody else? And God sent him a preacher. He said, Philip, join yourself to that man's chariot. And Philip asked him, he said, do you understand what you read? Do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I? Except some man got me. And you know what he showed that man? He was talking about the ladder. He's talking about Christ, the one that would come between God and man, born of a virgin, taking upon himself human nature to bear the sin of his people. Our great God has set this ladder upon the earth, and it reaches all the way to heaven. Oh, what great love. This is why the song sings, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. You want to talk about a distance? You imagine the distance between us and God. You remember when the rich man went to hell and he prayed, said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may come and dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. He said, do you not realize there is a great gulf fixed? He can't come to you and you can't come to him. But there's one that spanned that gulf. Someone said an Armenian bridge is a bridge that just goes halfway across, and you're supposed to build the other half. The Armenians say you build your own ladder and climb up one step at a time. That's what Nimrod did when he tried to build his temple all the way into heaven. That's what he was doing. But God reveals himself that it's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's doing to Jacob. He's revealing himself to that man. Let me tell you, salvation is a divine revelation. You can read as many books as you want to. You can listen to as many sermons as you want to. It doesn't come by education. It comes by revelation. Now listen to me. I've listened to men that they were as sound could be, but still did not know the Master. I read something from Henry Mahan years ago which really blessed and spoke to my heart. He says, there's a lot of people that preach about Christ and don't preach him. I don't want to be guilty of that. I don't want to just be guilty and believing about him. I want to embrace him. It's not in a doctrine. It's in a person. It's in a person. And the only way you'll believe is for him to open your eyes. And he'll get you alone. He'll put you where there's nobody else, but it's just you and him. And he'll make himself known. And he'll reveal that it's not by your efforts. It's not by your strength. It's not by your scheming. It's not by your manipulating. But it's by his grace. He's provided this staircase from earth that reaches all the way into heaven. Can you imagine what Jacob thinks? Now, this man had been taught from Abraham. Wouldn't you have loved to have been taught? Wouldn't you have loved to sit at the feet of Abraham? Wouldn't you have loved to sit at the feet of Isaac? And they told him about this covenant God. God who revealed it. God called Abraham out when he's 70-some years old. Why did he call Abraham? Why didn't he call somebody else? He called Abraham, and he called Isaac, and he called Jacob. And through Jacob, God changed his name to Israel. And everybody knows about Israel, don't they? Everybody knows about the nation of Israel. Everybody, let me tell you, they are God's chosen people. They are his chosen people. No doubt, no question. Everybody knows it. Everybody, don't you mess with Israel. No, I know they're just a picture of the true Israel. But let me tell you, that little nation over there began with this man right here. Isn't that right? He's a picture of all God's elect Israel. You know, God even many times refers to us. He said, you sons of Jacob. The only reason you sons of Jacob are not consumed is because God doesn't change. He's the unchanging God. But he calls you, you're nothing but a son of Jacob. Sandy's talked about this ever since Paul was here. She said she loved that illustration where it looked like Paul Manning, remember, he reached down and he just picked up an old worm and said, that's Jacob. That's us. That's who we are. Just sons of Jacob. But we're the sons of promise. And we are heirs of all things. And every son of Jacob, God will in his time reveal himself to that sinner. Every one of them. Every one of them. It may not look like it now in Jacob's life. Look at him when he's leaving. God's even controlled every bit of this to get him alone. Look at the first saying, how God revealed himself. You know what? Look what he said. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and he said, I am the Lord God. Who is he? He says, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. I am the covenant-keeping God. He said, I'm not only Abraham's God. I'm not only Isaac's God. You know what he's saying? I'm your God. This is the first time that God spoke directly to Jacob. And God speaks to him. Does God still speak to sinners? Oh, yeah. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Remember when he came to Lazarus' tomb? What did he say? Lazarus, come forth. And he comes now, and he speaks to Jacob. He says, Jacob, I'm not just Abraham's God. I'm not just Isaac's God. I'm your God. And listen to me. Jacob can't depend upon his grandpa being God. Jacob can't depend on his daddy being God. He must trust God himself. That's right. And the only way you'll ever trust him is for him to open your eyes. Jacob will never get over this. Never. Before this, he had been his father's God and grandfather's God. But now God says, I'm your God. And he says, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I love it ever since the first time I heard Jeff lead us in that song, This Is My Father's World. I own it. He said, I own it all. It's all his. But let me tell you this. God didn't choose that land over there. Why did God choose that land to give it to Israel? Anybody want to explain that to me? Didn't he give them that land? That's the land he gave them. And it's still theirs because God gave it to them. You know why he gave them that land? I'm going to tell you why. Because one day, somebody's going to dig a hole. And they're going to drop a cross in it. And God's going to hang his son on it. That's why. God, in the Old Testament, put a lot of significance on places. Bethel, this is the same place where Abraham came. Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, all those places. You know, they believed that the very place where Abraham offered up Isaac is where the temple was erected. You think that's an accident? It all revolves around him. And he said, I'm going to give you this right here. He didn't say, Jacob, now you got to work for it. You got to work to get it and you got to work to keep it. He said, no, I'm going to give it to you. And everything we have in grace and mercy and forgiveness and pardon, God gives it to us. Gives it to us. He'll give it to whom he will. In his sovereignty, he gave them that land to the people of his choice. He said, I didn't choose you because you're the greatest in number. He told them, he says, look at your father and look at your mother. Your mother was an Amorite and your father was a Hittite or vice versa. But that's what he said. You remember the hole from which you were dug. Why did God show you mercy? Why does God allow us to meet and worship him? Why? He gave us this land. He gave us Christ. He said, Jacob, I'm going to give you this. I didn't just give it to your father and to his son. I'm giving it to you. It's yours. The land where you lie right now, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. We know all the blessings are in Christ. Everything is in him. In him. This same man, from this man, came a great nation who came out of Egypt 430 years later. Millions of people. His people. Remember what he told Pharaoh? He said, you've touched my firstborn. He said, you've touched the apple of my eye. And you know what God did? God killed his firstborn. And what he said? He said, that's mine. And you know where he brought him? You know where he brought him? Back to the very place he gave him. Didn't he? That's what it is in the book of Joshua. You know what they're doing? He said, the iniquity of the Amorites is full. I put up with this long enough. And you're going to go in and take what I've given you. And they did. Verse 14, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt be spread abroad to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And what it says in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every kindred, nation, tongue, and people. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. To every creature. All the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. God set apart that people. Why did he set apart this people? The Old Testament is about what? Israel. It's all about Israel. It's about Israel's king. It's about God providing for them. They would sin against God and God would raise them up a judge. Well, then he gave them a king. He gave them David. Then he gave them other kings. And then he took them into captivity. But then he sent them the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all the reason why to bring him into this world. And it's through him all the nations of this world are blessed. If you've ever heard the gospel one time, you're blessed. Isn't that right? Why you? There'll be people perish who have never heard the gospel. Isn't that right? You go back and research again. Go back and study what Corinth was like. Go back and study what Ephesus was like and worship that great goddess Diana and all that mess. Go look at it. Those nations were under a curse for years. But then God sent them the gospel. He sent them the gospel. And you know what? He blessed them. Blessed them. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look what he says in verse 15. We have the promise. I want you to notice this. Notice the I ams and the I wills and the I haves. And behold, I will be with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again unto this place. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken unto you. He says, I'm going to keep you and I won't ever leave you. Remember what he told the disciples when he's getting ready to leave and go back to glory? He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. What did he say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. He never left him alone. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. In verse 16, we have Jacob's response to the dream. And Jacob awaked in verse 16 out of the sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Here in this certain place, our God brought Jacob to this place to be gracious to him. He said he was afraid. He said, verse 17, how dreadful is this place? That means he was all in reverence. He said, God was in this place and I didn't even know it. This is the response of one who has seen and beheld the Son of God in all his glory. Who was it? Somebody said, I think it was Cheryl, talking about how they don't fear God. Why don't people fear God? They've never saw him. If you ever see him, it's not a slavish fear. Perfect love cast out fear. We don't serve God from a slavish fear. It's reverence. He's holy. You remember John on the Isle of Patmos? He said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. But when he saw him, he fell on his face. Verse 17, he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the very gate of heaven. That staircase or ladder, whichever one you want to call it, not only takes you to heaven, but it takes you in. He said, this is the gate of heaven. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Verse 18. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put for a pillar, and he set it up for his pillow, and poured oil upon the top of it. He consecrated it to God, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, now notice that word if. You need to mark that out and put since. It's, if you read it with if, it makes it seem like God, that he's bargaining with God. Let me read. He said, if God be with me and will keep me in the way I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to this house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. It's not if, it's since. It's since God's been gracious to him. That's what he's going to do. It's not if. We don't bargain with God. For this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee the tenth thereof. He never got over this right here, never. Let me read you a couple of verses. Genesis 31:13, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out of this land, and return to the land of thy kindred. In Genesis 32:10, he said, it's when he's getting ready to meet Esau. He said, I'm not worthy of the least of all these mercies and of the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. You know where God blessed him? In Laban's house. God blessed him. Do you know Moses never got over the burning bush? He talked about the goodwill of him that dwelleth in the bush. Paul never got over talking about the Damascus Road. I know people put too much on experiences. But you know what Jacob did? He took those stones, he set them up, he consecrated them, and he said, this right here is the house of God. This right here is nothing but bricks and shingles and tin and sheetrock. But where God meets his people, that is the house of God. He said, this is the house of God. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'm in the midst. And then he said, the last part of verse 22, and all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee the tenth thereof. From Moses to Christ, the tithe was a legal duty. Remember, Abraham paid tithes unto Melchizedek. This is before the law was ever instituted. But since the time of Christ, God's people are free from this obligation of tithing. Let me tell you, when we were in religion, when people didn't give, you know what you do? You preach from Malachi, would a man rob God? And say, well, if you don't tithe, God's going to get his. You ever heard that? Say, well, if you don't tithe, God, your car's going to break down, or something will happen, you're going to lose. God's going to get it. And people live in fear. Listen, under grace, we realize that everything belongs to him. You know what he said? What you gave me. Them clothes on your back, God gave it to you. That car you're riding in, God gave it to you. That job you have, God gave it to you. And that's what he's saying. It's all his. You know what grace does? Grace makes a man gracious. If it doesn't make somebody gracious, it's not grace. Grace, how could I ever repay him for what he's given me? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Why? It's just reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. It's reasonable. Everything. Just imagine what God's given us. He's been pleased to reveal himself to us as the only mediator between God and man. It's not us trying to do our best. It ain't our free will efforts. It's God providing a way whereby a sinful man can approach a holy God. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Who brought it to Jacob? He did. Boy, don't you know that's the best night's sleep he ever had. He said, I didn't even know God was in this place. He was. And he still is. Where he is exalted and where he is honored, that's where he's at. He says, I'll honor them that honor me. Those that exalt him and glorify him, he's going to get all the glory, every bit of it. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to save every single son of Jacob. My question to you is, has God been pleased to reveal himself to you? Are you just believing in grandpa's God and daddy's God and mama's God? Or is he your God? Has he been pleased? I pray if he hadn't, I pray that he will. And you know, we commit our children, people we know, our friends, our family, into God's hands, because only God can make himself known. And you know it. That's why we that preach the gospel, we don't try to get people to do something they don't want to do. We leave it in God's hands. I hope you'll read one of that article there in the bulletin. It was the very first one, talking about the man, he knew that he was is lost and he didn't have any peace. So you know what he done? He set out to working. He says, well, I'm going to do this. Well, then God will give me peace. No, he didn't. So he planned to have a prayer meeting in his home. So he memorized the prayer, and he's going to have all these people over. He said he threw the prayer down on the table and said, well, that's enough. That'll do. And he said a little voice whispered in his ear, and he said, no, it won't do. But Christ will do. And God gave him peace, and peace flooded this soul. That's what it's about. It ain't what you do. It's what he's done. He has set up a ladder upon earth that reaches from earth to heaven. And he stands at the top of it as the gate. If any man hunger, let him come unto me. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. May God use that to speak to our hearts and remind us again that it's not what we do. It's what he does. And you know what? He keeps on in his mercy and grace revealing himself to our heart. Doesn't he? You know what he's doing? He's just reminding us all over again. It's in his hands. He said, I'll never leave you. Have you ever felt like he left you? He says, I'll keep you. You don't keep yourself. You're kept by the power of God. He leads you. He directs you. And he said, Jacob, no matter where you go, I'm going to bring you back. Did he bring him back? He said, I'm going to bring you back to your father's house. And he did. And he established him. And he blessed him. We're a blessed people. Blessed.